Well, we begin a new series of messages today, and I've had some people say, man, I've really been loving this heaven series. I said, well, it's over. only because I believe that it's over. That means that there's not an awful lot more you can glean from the scriptures about preparing for heaven, and not just heaven itself, but preparing for it. So that's on you. We've spent about 10 or 11 weeks on that topic. I believe God has given me a whole... In the 1990s, this church was a bunch with a bunch of other Alliance churches in the area, in Oxford and in Washington and in Long Valley and the like. We would get together, and when we had missions conference, it was done differently than it is now. Now our missions conferences are just on a weekend, but it used to be that the missions conferences were all week long, and we would share with another church a week. Sunday, Tuesday, in a transition, and we'd have them housed in individuals' homes. It was a great... I remember being in Washington, Alliance Church. We were having a big dinner, and it was in their fellowship hall, and we had an opportunity. I think it was the States. What is most... fascinating to you about coming back? What's changed or what? There's two boxes of cereal to choose. She said, "Of boxes of cereal, couldn't deal with it." But the one thing that stuck out is that they said, "In people there are." Bondage to witchcraft, sorcery, and spiritism, ancestor worship, and the like. And the people are desperate to get free. And the missionaries come in there and they share with them about Jesus. And sometimes they have off their fetish belts with a... The big issue was that they... free from their slavery. Do you follow me? He said, they said, when we came here, we were overwhelmed watching television. How many commercials promote psychic readings? Shows like Crossing Over or something like that, where the paranormal into somebody's ancestors and whatnot, and they try to bring up the spirit world. Said, this country is free. It has churches everywhere. People who are free earning be enslaved. Boggles our minds. The ones who are enslaved yearning to be free. Who on earth would ever, having been free, want to be in bondage again? If you are a Civil War nut like I am, then you get dressed to Ken Burns' Civil War DVD series, which I have worn out. The needle on the CD has just been... Anyway, the point is I watch them all the time, and something jumped off the page one time. They interviewed not the Ken Burns group. There was an interview done of a former slave. Obviously, the recording was years and years old, but they got the recording. It's rough, but you can hear him clearly. And the slave said this, the former slave said this. He said, if I knew that I would ever be a slave again, I'd get a gun and end it all. As a slave, you are nothing but a dog. You're not a thing but a dog. He said, if I knew I'd have to go back to bondage, I'd kill myself. Why would anybody ever want to go and be a slave again when they've been set free? Amen? But we're going to talk about that because it's possible. It's possible. I'm going to show you through the scriptures. So this is where we're going to start our time in this series on freedom. Are you with me, church? We're going to pray and get right into it. Loving Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence with your family, the body of Christ. We thank you that we have gathered to really glorify you in our praise, attention, in our fellowship, in our... As we now listen, as we sit at your feet, we pray that you would be the one who speaks to us now through your servant and your spirit and your word. Pray that you would pierce every single heart, those that are resistant and those that are welcoming. Father, we ask that you would use me as your instrument, that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us from any distraction getting in the way. And Father, I pray that you would work a miracle somehow from my lips to the hearer's ears so that they would hear exactly what you want them to hear. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about freedom, there's no doubt in my mind that if you're just saying the word freedom, all kinds of pop into your minds. And it happened with me too. And I heard a song about freedom. We're going to be introducing it as a worship team to you. It was introduced to me a couple weeks ago, and I sing it in my sleep. As it happens, I sing it in the shower in the morning. I sing it on the way in here, shoveling the stuff. I was singing it. I just thought after thought after thought after thought, freedom, how it relates to us in so many different areas, and that's where we're going to go over the weeks. But everybody has something that pops in their head when they talk about freedom. And the same thing is true when we talk about slavery. We talk about the chains of slavery. If you're a civil like I am, then certain things come into your mind. Images of slaves beaten, the slaves that are out in the field picking cotton, the ones that are missing their teeth because they're not cared for. You think of Uncle Tom and how that was told about the degradation and the physical abuse and just the mistreatment. You think of a physical slavery when you think about slavery in chains. But there's also all kinds of slavery. There's that spiritual bondage to sin, where you say, I just can't seem to ever escape this, or the spiritual side where there's actual oppression and possession. And we'll explain them another time. But then you can possibly go to the mental anguish, the mental slavery. There's a lot of that happens, where the addictions that are associated with that and the torment, where people actually say, I can't take the mental torment anymore. I can't live. I got a call from a woman 2 weeks ago now. Called me up and she said, Pastor, I'm ready to end it all. I just have to figure out how to spark an immediate response. She was just very disappointed. Through a lot of mental anguish, a mental slavery. And you got different kinds. That's what happens. Slavery is real, people. And freedom in Christ is always offered for everything. Would you agree with that? You can say amen. So I'm going to start this series this morning. And I pray that we're on the same page. I hope you don't disagree with a lot of what I say. I hope you say, you know what, I want to listen. I want to see, because I tell you, if we're on the same page, then corporately, collectively, we can then tell other people that most people in this world are slaves. They are. Most people in this world are enslaved to something. We'll explain that. But if we can collectively, corporately get on board the same page, we can tell others about freedom, direct them to the one who frees them, and according to Isaiah 58, we can be participants in freeing somebody else. Are you with me? So here we go. We're going to get right into it. So I want to start with the fact that slavery is real, and every single one of us in this room, every single person in this room is a slave or has been. I'm not saying that you are now, but you may be. And there's a possibility of going back to slavery, even as a follower of Christ. You say, no, you can't. Yes, you can. Paul addresses it in Galatians chapter 5. He said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us. Therefore, do not live yourselves again slavery. He's talking about this legalism of Judaism. I got that. But the point is, you can go back to the slavery. So I'm here to tell you that we need to be all on board. We need to understand that we've always been a slave. Now, I want to talk to you about the idea of slave, but not the slave to God's law that Paul talks about in Romans 7, or a slave to everyone so there are so many to Christ. That's not the kind of slavery to Christ that I'm talking about. We were all at one time a slave, or we are presently a slave to that which Christ wants from. Are you with me? We're in bondage. Some of you say, amen, you don't have to keep preaching at me. I'm agreeing with you. I am a slave to this or that. I am in bondage. I'm in chains. And I need to be set free. So the reality is that that is true, that slavery is real, and that Christ came to set us free. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and hold them up in the air. Thanks for bringing them with you. If you didn't bring them with you, again, we want to encourage you to do that. Would you turn to Luke chapter 4, or you can follow again behind me. Luke chapter 4. And starting with verse 16. This is speaking of Jesus. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus said one of the reasons that he came. He came to destroy the work of the devil. He came to, seeking to save that which was lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. But he came to release the oppressed. One of the reasons why Jesus came. If there was no one in bondage, there was no need for that. But Jesus came for that. Now, I'm here to tell you that every single one has been a slave at one time. Can you say amen, or are you resistant? Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. There's no trick questions in this one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the... 6:23 says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I want to let you know that it's harder and harder the further and further of the scriptures to get the next generation to admit that they are sinners. And that sounds so terrible, so nasty. But the reality is sin is egregious to God, and we're all sinners. Now Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we're all slaves, at least one point in our life. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to that passage in John chapter 8, where we're going to be a little bit. In John chapter 8, in verse 31, Jesus has been speaking for a while. And he says in verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Right there, then and there, Jesus says that there's a freedom. And you could say, yeah, well, I'm not a slave. I'm not somebody who has ever needed to be set free. Let's reread that. "To the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' Then they answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave had no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" So once again, I'm telling you that every single person in this room has been a slave at one time, because we're all sinners, amen? Amen. At least most of us, right? No, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not a hard thing to say, I've messed up. In fact, yeah, you probably can say, well, I messed up the last hour and a half. I messed up this morning coming to church. I was messed up this whole week. I mean, you wouldn't believe what kind of a person I would be. I get it. But we're all sinners. And anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, it's interesting that the Pharisees, who know the Bible, the old covenant, say, well, we've never been slaves. And that may be your contention today. Most of you say amen, that I was a slave at one time and met Jesus. I'm here to tell you that every one of us was a slave, and the Pharisees said, no, we've never been. Jesus confronts their arrogance, their belligerent rebellion of him, and all of their sinfulness. He says, no, you're all sins, all slaves at one time. Now, interesting. They said, no, we're sons of Abraham. We're sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves. I'm going to ask you to go to, I'm going to go ask you to go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, where we were this morning. Children of Abraham. If you're a child of Abraham, you're not a slave. That's what he just got done saying to Jesus. We, Abraham, we've never been. Do you understand something? That Abraham was not a Jew. If you know that, say amen. Say, really? He wasn't? He was not a Jew. He was of the offspring of Eber, so he was a Eberu, or Hebrew. He was not a Jew. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael became, if you will, the father of the tribes that eventually became Muslims. And Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob and Esau. Isaac was not a Jew. He became a father of Israel. Jacob, Israel, right? Changed name. Got you following me? Israel was not a Jew. But he had a son named Judah. And that's the true line of the Jews. But then, by the time we get to Jesus, a child of Abraham, Abraham was a Jew, Isaac was a Jew, Israel was a Jew, Judah was a Jew, everybody who's associated with them. Now, you get at least the weird context. But they're saying, listen, Abraham, we come from that direct line, and so we've never been a slave, and I'm here to tell you, you gotta not know your scriptures to say such a stupid statement like that. In Exodus chapter 1, if you'll go there, in verse 8, it says, then a new king who did not know Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become too much or too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Rameses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They were in bondage. They made their lives bitter with hard work in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. Then if you'll go over to chapter 2, and we're going to keep going on beyond that. Chapter 2 and verse 23, as Stephen read for us. During that long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned in their slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. And God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. If you'll go over to chapter 3 and verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Hopefully you all know that story. But my point is this. For years and years and years, the people, the children, the grandchildren of Abraham, all their offspring, numbers of them, were all slaves. Children of Abraham, slaves. And they were in misery in their slavery. And God heard them, and his desire is that everybody be free. This is going to come to the very end. I want you with me. He wants everybody. And so he says, you know what? I've heard their suffering. I'm concerned for them. And he sends Moses, this great rescuer. Understand this, that Satan can enslave us just like he enslaved that woman for 18 years. That issue of, remember that? Jesus heals her. We're going to get to that in another week. But Jesus heals this woman on the Sabbath, and they're all kinds of against him because he's healing on the Sabbath. He said, wait a minute, don't you understand? You would take care of a donkey who falls into a pit on the Sabbath and you make sure that he was okay. This woman has been bound. She's been a slave to Satan in this issue of blood, in this physical bondage, this physical slavery. Isn't it okay if I set her free? on the Sabbath. It's God's desire for us to be set free. And if we can't recognize that we have been enslaved, we will not be free. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law couldn't acknowledge their slavery, so they can't be set free. If we can't get to that point, that without Jesus, we're still belonging to the... Now, understand this. In verse 44 of, I think it's John 8, Jesus says that you belong. You belong to your father. You belong to your father, the devil. So you belong to your father, or you belong to your heavenly father, that good, good father. There's no other options. You say, well, sure, I don't belong. No, you do. You either belong to the one or you belong to the other. God sends a rescuer in Moses. Now our freedom, second thing I want to highlight is our freedom is what God wants for us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Paul says in Galatians 5, is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'm here to tell you that if you have come to faith in Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, then your freedom has been paid for. You belonged to Satan. You belong to him. That's the option. And Jesus, the Bible says, do you not know that your body is not your own? You have been bought. That God has redeemed his church with his own precious blood. It says that remember that whole tetelestai thing? It is paid for. What's paid for? Our ransom. We've been bought with a price. When he said it is paid in full, he's saying that I redeemed you from the enemy. They don't belong to him. Those slaves are now free. What? Do you follow? It's desire that we be set free from everything, from the physical, from the emotional, from the mental, and from all the spiritual that we've been enslaved to. In AA, some of you have been a part of AA, and I hope I don't offend here, but in Alcoholics Anonymous, step program where is a 12, they say call it something else as well, but the 12-step program, and the first step is basically admitting that you have a problem. To say that we are powerless against alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. That's the first step. If you can't acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you're in bondage, you're never going to seek freedom from that. And God wants you to be free. If you can't acknowledge you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict or a porn addict or a sex addict or whatever it is, if you can't admit it, then you're never really going to be set free. Can I get an amen? So here's the reality. God wants us to be set free. Now, in order for you to be set free, you have to acknowledge that. When we came to Jesus and surrendered our life, he rescued us for that. Now, I'm going to share this with you. It ought to be that you would rather die like that old slave that they had recorded, that you would rather die than to go back into slavery. Now, the thing is, it's not always the case. This is what ought to be in our hearts. If I knew that I would ever be a slave again, I'd end my head. I'd end it all. Because you're nothing but a dog under Satan's rule. And you want to go back to slavery? You want to go back to slavery? It ought to be, and people do that. Look at Asia Bibi, right? Praise God. How many of you remember Asia Bibi? As she was, she said, I'm going to go back to slavery. I'm not going to die. Death is imminent. I might die any day. And then, of course, she was set free, praise God, but she said, no, I'd rather die than go back to slavery. Rather die than denounce Christ. That's why Paul says, don't go back to this. Look at Galatians chapter 5, if you will. I think it's up on the screen. In Galatians chapter 5, I think it's worth looking at. In verse 1, Paul says to the church in Galatia, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let me just tell you what he's talking about there. You're still with me for a few more minutes? Let me tell you what he's talking about. If you haven't studied the book of Galatians, I studied the whole book in Greek. That was my one Greek concentration class. We did the whole book from the first word to the last. That was our whole semester. We studied this book thoroughly. And he says, listen, you Galatians, you are set free. The legalism that is out there, but the Jewish believers in Jesus as Messiah came over and said, no, 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 to the Galatian Gentile believers and said, listen, if you really want to be to the Christian, if you really want to be full Christian, you've got to come under the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. That is, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the dietary laws, and you need to follow our calendar. You need to do the things that we do. You have to celebrate all this stuff if you really want to have that fullness in Christ. And Peter was a part of this mess. And Paul rebukes Peter to his face in the book of Galatians. And he says, this is hypocrisy. This is nonsense. Christ has set you free from all this legalism. Why are you then allowing yourself to go back to the slavery? In fact, he gets really kind of graphic. I don't mind saying this because it's a scriptural thing. He says to those who want to have you circumcised, they get your attention? Have you circumcised? I wish they would go all the way on themselves and totally emasculate themselves. That's pretty rough language for a guy to hear. It's so foul. And he's talking to Jewish believers. He says, I wish they would be punished that way for slavery. Let's keep moving on. Once we are set free in Christ, sometimes we forget what slavery was like. Especially if we live in this kind of a gentle culture to Christianity. You think it's rough? You just got to go to another country. But this is a gentle culture when it comes to Christianity. And sometimes we take our faith for granted. We say, you know, if we come to church blue moon, that's fine because we don't really need a lot of nourishment. We take everywhere, our Bible study, our prayer time, our prayer time. We just kind of put it, we were very casual about it. Let me tell you something. When the circumstances start to hit us and life starts to fall apart, I love how the one singer says, you're not falling apart, falling into place. God has a plan for all of the mess that's happening. When all of the stuff circles around us and we start to say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? We shake our fist at God and say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm about to lose my. Slavery wasn't quite so bad. Do you hear me? Would you take your Bibles and go back to Exodus chapter 14? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, the Egyptian army is coming toward the Israelites who have escaped. They have gone out. They have actually been welcomed out of Egypt because of the death angel that have come through, and they are leaving. Pharaoh has a change of mind, and verse 10 says this, as Pharaoh approached them with his armies, if you will, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. Circumstance starts to swirl, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert. When we get away from praising God and in time in his fellowship, when we get away from being close to God, before you know it, the circumstances that swirl around us make us do exactly that. Shake our fists. Why make me follow you? Now that I've been following Jesus, everything in my life has been falling apart. My husband left, my kids are on drugs, my health is falling apart, all because I followed Jesus. That wasn't happening before. I should have just been a slave. The things I told you, this road. And now you want to go back to bondage. Remember it said in the earlier chapters, they cried out to the Lord in their misery, and God heard their miserable cry, and he said, I'm going to rescue you. And they were so excited to leave their harsh taskmasters. But when the circumstances came, well, what happens? We know what happens, right? A wall of water here, a wall of water, they go, right? Right. The wind blew all night long into the day, and they walked across. On the Israelites or the Egyptians saw this. They go in, they get all swallowed up, the water crashing in, you know, and Miriam sings, right? All that wonderful stuff happens, and they like their freedom again. Let's go over a couple chapters here for a moment, because circumstances creep in. Luke chapter, Exodus chapter, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, interesting name, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. Now in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert to starve the entire assembly. So they're saying, okay, our tummies are rumbling. Let's go back to slavery. We had more meat. We were so fat. They fed us so, oh man, they were so good to us. They forgot how miserable slavery was because of the circumstances. They were hungry. They thought they were going to die. Why did you bring us out here? We had plenty to eat there. Now we're going to die. So what happens? God gives them bread from heaven. You know this story. Bread from heaven, and it tasted something like coriander seed with honey. Can you imagine God the baker? You got to love it. I was over in Stoma, Russia, and we were in this apartment complex. We were up on was a bakery. Russian bakery is great. Imagine God being the baker. And then they complained about that. Why didn't you just let us go back to slavery? Why didn't you just let us go back? All we ever have is this stinking bread from heaven. And so God gives them what? Quail. Gives them meat. So much meat that it comes out their nostrils. He's getting fed up with their nonsense. But they keep going back, wanting to go back to slavery. Let me tell you something. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. And he's always going to try to convince you that the slavery was not as bad as you thought it was. Forget God. He's done you nothing good. Ever since you followed him, your world has fallen apart. And I don't know if you know about the Old Testament prophets, but people stopped worshiping the pagan deities and started worshiping God again, and their worlds fell apart. And they said, this is all happening because now we're following Yahweh. So we're going back to the pagan deities. Circumstances is not the issue. Are you set free or not? I'm going to conclude this. As we go down this path together, I want you to know that freedom comes at a great cost. I want you to hear me. So just take a minute. In this country, the liberties that we have been paid for by the blood of the Patriots, the 1700s. If you don't know that story, and even the right signers of the Declaration of Independence and what they went through, the Constitution, what they went through, our liberties were paid for by the blood of people for the last 244 plus years. People paid for our freedoms. Please do not be convinced by any politics that any of your freedoms should be given up for any other reason. They were bought at an extremely high price. Don't just yield them because somebody promises if you yield this freedom or this freedom, things will be better for everybody. Do not give up your freedom because when you give up freedom, you go into bondage. Those are the alternatives, freedom or slavery. In this country concerning the church, we have more freedoms than any other nation, even free as Catholics. In church, you don't have the freedoms that we have here. You know, pastors can't preach on certain things, so they'll be arrested in Canada. But in this country so far, we have religious liberty. And I used to be of the school of thought that said, you know what? We have it as people all over. We should stop whining and complaining about how hard it is getting people. My religion, because so much can be done. We're not lazy, if we're not just kind of holding. Anybody take your religion? Don't let Satan lie to you. I know you go through rough things. Walking with you. That goes. Mr. Michael. It was the first time he was going to. He had Teen Challenge the next. So he was only going to preach Saturday night. 4 to 6, he tells me, looking down in Philadelphia. A miracle for him to get here in Philadelphia. So we said, okay, we've been preaching on God's new guy preach. A lot of other side of the, don't tell us the story of the story. Going so long, person after person saying, I had the worst of circumstance, but God saw me through it. When you're going through the circumstance, that's when Satan says slavery is not so bad. Go back. Go back to it. We're going to go down this path of freedom. And next, we thank you for our freedom in Christ, because we know that it came at an enormous cost. That the church with his own precious blood. And we have been set free. Father, I pray you would recognize that slavery this morning.